This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Good morning, and happy Mother's Day. I can't think of a more appropriate gospel. When we think of the love of a mother, we think of that which never ends. And this gospel we hear today is talking about Jesus, the true vine, staying connected with him forever. I think to understand this gospel in its entirety, there's a metaphor that is here that is very important. And there are so many different things we can take from this metaphor. As we are celebrating an official beginning of a life in Christ with seven people being baptized here today, but as well for all of us staying connected with Christ. And what I'm going to do today is, some of you have seen this before, but we had a thing here in South Florida called Hurricane Wilma a few years ago. There's a nervous twitch that people get when I say that. But it took a lot of the vegetation away. And it took every single leaf off of the rubber tree that graces the front of our youth house. And what we did over time from the day after Hurricane Wilma is to take a time sequence of photographs so that you might see what happened to what we assumed might be a dead tree. So if you don't like what I have to say today, you can watch the slideshow. But let me start by talking about this idea. And it goes back to the Old Testament. The vine and the branches is an image that comes out of the book of Isaiah. Jesus took it right from there. And to understand it, I want to tell you a story that perhaps you can relate to. When Dee and I were getting married and were preparing to move into a home, we had to wait while that home was built. And while we were living in an apartment, we started to go around to Palm Beach County tasting all the different varieties of mango that we could find because we love mangoes and we wanted to have a mango tree, but we wanted the perfect mango tree. And so we finally chose the variety that we wanted, but we had delays and delays, as happens with construction. Well, finally, when we moved into that home, one of the big symbolic things we did was to go out and buy the seedling of a tree and plant it in our yard. When that tree was planted, it is as if we were saying to each other, we're finally home. There is a comfort with knowing that we are home. Now think of the Israelites, a nomadic people wandering in the desert for 40 years, hoping that someday they will get to the promised land and they will be home. This image of the vine and the branches had to give to them incredible comfort of knowing that someday they would be home. Now, Jesus starts talking about the fact that he is the true vine, which would sort of imply that there was a vine that wasn't so true. And we go back to that same image in Isaiah, and we find out that in that image, the Israelites were supposed to be the vine, and they weren't very true, they weren't very faithful. Now, Jesus comes and says, I am the true vine. Make your home in me, and you will bear much fruit. So that image brings us to the second point, and that is we need to stay connected. Now, I think in this day and age, more than any other, we should understand that being connected, staying connected. Good Lord, we have MySpace, Facebook, now Twitter. You've got 24-hour cable news, and if the internet goes out in the home or the office, it's a disaster. Where 15 years ago, we didn't even have it. We are in touch with what it means to stay connected. And it becomes so crucial for us to stay connected with Christ. Do you know, in the gospel that we heard today, and in that second reading from 1 John, the word abide is used 13 times. Must be an important word. Abide. It has to do with that staying connected. If you look at the original language, they sometimes transliterate and say it means to minnow with God. It means to hang out with God. It means to have that day in and day out relationship. You know, when we look at vineyards and grapes, the best grapes always grow closest to the vine. So too in our spiritual lives, we need to stay close, connected to that vine if we are to have the best fruit. C.S. Lewis, a great Christian writer, wrote this: God has designed the human machine to run on himself, God. God is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, the food our spirits are designed to feed upon. There is no other. That is why it is just no good asking God to make us happy without bothering about religion. God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself, because it is not there. There is no such thing. We need to stay connected. If we understand who Jesus is, perhaps there would be no way we would not want to be connected with him. We spent a considerable time last week talking about the I am statement and what that means. This in John 15, we hear the last I am. But all the others combined give us an incredible idea of who this Jesus is. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection, and I am life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And today, I am the true vine. Isn't that someone we would want to stay connected with? I ran across this little story written by Mark Roth that I think puts it into perspective. There was a grape branch that struggled mightily to hold on to the four huge, tightly packed clusters of grapes. That fruit emitted strong wafts of delicious aroma, and the look of the grapes seemed to insist on being picked and eaten. The branch could not hold back the self-confident satisfaction deep within the nuclei of each cell. It knew it was a grape branch. Appearance, fruit, and chemical composition assured it of never being anything but a grape branch. Obviously, the very best of that. So the branch decided, indulging in a little ungrape-like behavior that would hurt nothing. Once a grape branch, always a grape branch, it reassured itself. So it detached itself from the vine. No, it had neither intention nor desire to be anything less than a healthy, beautiful, productive grape branch. It just felt that submitting to the whims of the vine was no longer necessary. After all, its identity could never be changed. Before long, though, the branch no longer felt strong and vigorous. In fact, it felt utterly drained and limp. Its grapes withered and dropped off. So did its leaves. Eventually, it looked like a stick in the ground. Then it was broken up, and all that remained of it were small particles of various nutrients to be absorbed by other plants. The other branches, still attached to the vine and plentifully nourished by it, produced a bountiful harvest for the master of the vineyard. They saw that without the vine, their comrade could do nothing. And as they looked at the spare spot of earth a scant foot away from the vine, they realized again that to continue as grape branches, they needed to continue being attached to the grapevine. Stay connected. Then, next point. Staying connected. We hear in the first reading today the story of the eunuch that Philip meets. we hear that eunuch speak three times, and each time he asks a question. I would posit that our journey of faith requires us to continue to be willing to ask questions, but to be asking the right questions, to continue to struggle with those things that are difficult in our lives, but to understand that part of our journey is to continue to ask the questions as we go along connected to that line. And then, what kind of a branch are you? You know, when you look at a tree, you don't see the vine, you see the branches. Our job is to be such a branch that people would desire to see the vine from whence that beautiful branch and fruit comes. I saw a bumper sticker that asked the same kind of a question. It said, "Are you a branch connected to the vine, or are you a stick in the mud?" There's a lot of wisdom there. The joy that we are called to profess as Christians, the compassion we are called to have, the comfort we are called to share with one another. Are we being such a branch that is going to call others to be a part of that vine as well? You think about good wine, people who know good wines. They will go into the wine store and look for the particular vineyard that the grape comes from because they know that certain vineyards produce incredible grapes that produce incredible wines. Our vineyard, our vine, is the finest quality there is. How are we reflecting that as our branch? And last but not least, we are called to be pruned. Is it not amazing what God can do when we are pruned? Sometimes it's a painful process. In the gospel reading today, there are two things that happen. Things that aren't producing and are dead are cut off. Things that are growing are pruned. Either way, we are going to be cut. But let that cut be a pruning as we continue to stay connected, so that we'll be able to see over time how the ways in which our lives are simplified are God's way of pruning us into holiness. As you read the lives of the saints, I don't think there is one saint who, as their life of holiness went along, they didn't intentionally become simpler and simpler in their lifestyle, in their pruning, paring it down to that which was most essential, the relationship with Jesus Christ. And so too the call is for us, to be willing to be pruned so that we can achieve great growth. It's addition by subtraction. Stripping our illusions, letting go of false pretenses, exposing our false selves, breaking open our hearts, so that we can grow more and better. You think of it in the physical sense, I lose some weight, I've got more energy. If I'm on a trip, I let go of some excess baggage and I can travel quicker and better. We just finished our big garage sale. How many of us cleaned out our closets and our garages of all the stuff and simplified our lives a bit? Perhaps it is time for us, as we celebrate baptism today, for us to renew that commitment of staying connected to the vine and continuing to bear fruit that will endure. Amen. A blessing for Mother's Day. God, you are our Father and our Mother, and so we ask you, bless all mothers who have sat up all night with sick toddlers saying, "It's okay, honey, mommy's here." Bless all mothers who gave birth to babies they may never see. and the mothers who took those babies forever to be their own children. Bless all mothers who attended ball games, recitals, and rehearsals and who said, "I wouldn't have missed it for the world," and meant it. Bless all the mothers of Iraq who fled in the night and can't find their children or can't feed their children. Creator God, what makes a good mother anyway? Is it patience, firmness, a soft lap? Or is mothering what is in her heart? Is it the ache she feels when she watches her child disappear down the street, walking to school alone for the very first time? The jolt that takes her from sleep to dread, from bed to crib at 2 a.m. to put her hand on the back of a sleeping baby. The need to flee from wherever she is and hug her child when she hears news of a school shooting, a fire, a car accident, a baby dying. Yes, it is so. So then bless all mothers who sat down with their children and explained all about making babies. And bless all the mothers who wanted to but just couldn't. Bless all mothers who yell at their kids in the grocery store with frustration and despair. Bless all mothers who show up at work with milk stains on their blouses and diapers in their purse. Bless all mothers who teach their sons to cook and their daughters to speak up with pride. Bless all mothers who put pinwheels, teddy bears, or flowers on their children's graves. Bless all mothers whose children have gone astray, who haven't the words to reach them, and yet have never put them from their heart. Bless all new mothers stumbling through diaper changes and sleep deprivation, and mature mothers learning to let go, for working mothers, stay-at-home mothers, single mothers, and married mothers. Bless all those who have yearned in their hearts to someday be mother, yet have not been able to be so. Bless those mothers who created a home for each of us, and whom you have called home to be with you in heaven. And bless all of us who will move beyond sentiment into actions which support mothers and mothering persons in all of their life-giving and life-nurturing roles. Bless our mothers and bless us. God, our Father and Mother who creates us, Jesus, our Good Shepherd who guides us, and Holy Spirit who leads us, one God, forever and ever. Amen.